Homecoming. I'm sure that Boston Baptist Church really goes overboard for homecoming. It's one of the highlights of the events that take place. But homegoing of one of your saints that you just celebrated this week surely surpasses any homecoming you'll ever have. Amen. Folks, it's a joy. Some of you people came here today to eat food. Forget it. Some of you came here to reminisce. We've done all the reminiscing in here we're going to do. I trust that you came to worship God. I trust right now that is the supreme reason that you're here for the next few minutes. I think it did. I was still going to say an hour, but a few minutes. Please let the Lord lead us and let the Lord speak to us and truly praise his name for it all. I ask you a question. First of all, one more thought. I am a teacher, and this Bible is my textbook. Now, most teachers ask a question at the beginning of the class that you weren't graded on. But those at the end of the class period, those are the ones that counted. So let's assume that's the way it's going to be here today also. First question I have today, and there'll be others related, do you want to set the standards for which you are judged, or do you want God to set the standards? Now, you have that opportunity to set the standards that you want to be judged by. And that's done by the way you live and by the way that you might, if you do, pass judgment on others. Respect for the individuality of people. Each and every one of us. If we truly respect that individuality and then examine our own selves very, very thoroughly, our own life, our limitations might save us many problems down the road. We need to look at this heart much, much, much more than we need to look at the hearts of our neighbors, of our friends, of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the people that we deal with in business and so forth. We need to spend more time with this heart than we do theirs. God is ultimately, continuously judging. From the time that Eve and Adam made a mistake in the Garden of Eden, God has been continuously judging. Every second of the time since then, and is busy judging you and I today according to what our hearts are feeling right now, this very instance, because he knows what's on our hearts. The scripture tells us that God chastises those that he loves. And one of those favorite verses is in Revelation 3:19. He chastises those that he loves. So if everything's sailing real smooth in your life, you have no ups and downs, and everything's calm, everything's just ideal, and you're not facing very many variations, you really need to take another look at yourself, because you want God to love you. And if he loves you, he's going to chastise you. He's going to correct you. He's going to discipline you to make it possible for you to see more closely what he expects out of you as one of his children. I'm sure that most of you are very familiar with the, I'm going to say a word that maybe not should be used, but the deal between God and Satan concerning one of God's favorite chosen people, Job. You know, God was so sure of Job that he told Satan, he says, Job will never leave me. You can do anything in this world you want to. But I ask you this, you do not take his life. You can do anything, Job's still going to be my man. Job is still not going to leave me. So you people that know that story, you know it well. You know that Job was a very wealthy, wealthy man. That wealth was judged by livestock and those things that he owned, those things that he lived with each and every day, all destroyed. Children, all gone. Everything gone. Job even was ridiculed by some of those very close friends of him, his, convicting him, and they were giving him reasons why all of this was happening. And they were trying to manufacture sins that had come into Job's life. There were none. He stood fast. And then, in the end, most of you know what happened. All that wealth came back, multiplied. All had more children. And one thing I like about that last phrase in that particular story, and his daughters were the most beautiful in the land. That's a blessing, isn't it? But Job stood by God. Folks, God does not inflict illness in my life or your life. Now, you know, throughout the Old Testament, so many times and references were made to the sin in people's life, and it was pointed out that a certain thing caused it, but Jesus straightened that out. He says, that's not so, and it's not so with us except for one thing. Satan inflicts the illness you have or have had or might have, and that is inflicted due to our protecting this temple of the Holy Spirit. How do we treat this physical body that houses the Holy Spirit? If we treat it health-wise, spiritually wise, physically wise, and all of those things, it's going to be a rather tough, strong body. But we inflict pain and sin upon ourselves by the way we live and those habits that we should not be a part of or partaking. Now, we've got started. All good students have their textbook with them. Please open your Bibles to Matthew, if you will. Matthew 7. And please keep it open because we're going to use it two or three times. Matthew 7, and beginning with the first verse. Matthew 7, we'll read two verses, and we'll come back and pick up some more in just a moment. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now I'm sure that you realize that the theme of our message this morning is judgment. I trust that we've gone that far. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Now that's leading up to that very first question that we ask you today. Do you want to be judged by God's standards, or do you want to establish the standards yourself by which you are judged? And I trust before we get through, we'll realize according to the way we live and according to the way we look at other people will help us determine and answer that particular question. Keep this thought in mind of these things that we move along with. We all are different. Each and every one of us. We have different interests. We have different ideas. We have different purposes because God made us with a specific purpose, and he certainly didn't make us all to have the same purpose in life. We're to examine our own complexities and limitations, and when we do, this should help us to truly be more considerate and understanding of others. Because if we know ourselves, there's going to be no way in this world we're going to know others, because we do not know their heart. We can see them, we can look at them, we can live with them, and truly enjoy being in their presence. But as far as knowing that deep-seated heart, we do not. But we have to look at ours, and we have to examine ours very completely. In fellowship with another, we truly affirm the worth of their personality. No, that is not so. That is not true. We try to look at them, and we look at them, and we appear to be the authority over them. And in looking and, I hate to use this word, but judging, which we're not, we judge those, and it really is a matter of making ourselves look good. That's not what we get from God's Word. God's Word tells us that we are to be the humble ones. We are to be like Jesus Christ, the Son, which says he came to serve and not be served. And we cannot be served unless we are in that upper echelon of authority. And that's not what God wants us to be. We are to be that lowly servant. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in my Father's house than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. The doorkeeper was the lowliest of all servants. And that's what God expects of us. Yes, fulfilling that purpose, ever so great as it might be, we still have to realize that we are serving others as we live that life and truly live for God. Jesus had many guiding principles that he taught his disciples, many of them. And he taught his disciples to avoid prejudgment or prejudice. Many of us have a habit of stereotyping persons the first time we see them. How many times have you heard a first impression is a lasting impression? Folks, that's a judgment to start with. And we're told not to do it. We're told not to do it. We must realize that we have to look at that person and try to see Jesus within that person, not anything else. The ultimate, the supreme, those characteristics that God made us with. He made us in his image and spirit. That's what we're supposed to look at and see in every person that we meet. Jesus taught those disciples these things, and truly, they are worthwhile. There's a common old saying that many of us have heard. You even said it. Don't judge others until you have walked in their shoes. Now, that sounds pretty practical, doesn't it? But, folks, that's no good either. Because in that very first verse of Scripture we read, do not judge others. Because can you walk in the other person's shoes? No. You cannot, because you don't know that heart. You do not know what causes that person to do the things that he does and be the person that he is, because there are so many things that you do not know about him. So therefore, we cannot judge under any condition. Judgment on our part is an ego trip, going and coming, because again, it makes us appear to be the authoritative ones. That's not our responsibility whatsoever. The very opposite of that is to be that encourager, that helper, the one that lifts up, that compassionate heart that truly seeks to help those when they are in need. There are so many opportunities we have. Most judging of others is truly to make ourselves look good. Scripture, go back to the Bible, Scripture, verse 3. 4, 5, 6, real quick like. And why beholdest thou the mote is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and again and rend you. Folks, there's a lot of difference between that mote, a speck of sawdust, than there is a board, a beam, a plank, or a 2x6. And we've got that beam in our eye sometimes. We've got that board in our eye. And we're looking at that person, our neighbor, that only has a speck of sawdust in their eye. How can we truly help them when our problem is much worse than theirs? Jesus gave explicit conditions. And truly, as we look at these, I like to think there's just a little bit of humor in Jesus' life, in his way, in his speaking. And as we look at some others, we're comparing this mote or this speck to a much, much larger problem. We also go and look at Luke 13, 31, 32. You don't have to turn there. I'll explain it the best I can. When Jesus sent word by the Pharisees and the scribes to Herod, and he said, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Now, that's really not, doesn't sound too good that Jesus called Herod a fox, is it? Now, Herod was the most wicked of all kings. But Jesus is a qualified judge, folks. So even though it might seem a little humorous, Jesus was sincere because Herod had no proper principles about him whatsoever. He was out to destroy everything about God's plan and his son Jesus Christ that he possibly could. And of course, Jesus at one time. Another sign that we might see some humor in the life of Jesus was when he was describing an example to the scribes and Pharisees as straining a gnat out of your teeth and then going the opposite extreme, swallowing a camel, head, tail, and all. He had to have a lot of humor, didn't he? He was real. He gave us lessons. He gave those disciples lessons that we're supposed to be teaching others. And if it wasn't for him and his humors, we wouldn't be here today. Yes, truly. The illustration in this passage shows how ridiculous it is for someone to try to help somebody else when their problem is far greater than the one they're trying to help. Judgment, judgment. I ask a question again. Do you want to be judged by your standards, or do you want to be judged by God's standards? Judge ourselves first. Then God gives us understanding enough how to, through grace and spirit, to help our neighbor. How do we help this neighbor? Encouragement. Encouragement is just about as opposite a picture as I can draw in comparison to judging. But we encourage that neighbor, that friend, our own family members, and everyone that is low, those that are in trouble, those that need help. Encouragement is the greatest thing that we can do. In Galatians 2:5, every man should help bear his brother's burdens. Encouragement, and that's the way we do it, through helping our brother. Back to the text, verse 2. And a point there, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That particular verse really answers the question, do we want to be judged according to our standards? Because folks, if we, judging others from a negative standpoint, what does it say? our judgment will be measured to us much more severely than what we measured judgment to another person, because we're not supposed to do it to begin with. There's two or three helps that we find as we go to other verses of Scripture. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Romans 14:13. We should help and aid our neighbor, our friend, and those that we serve. Help, not hinder. That stumbling block is a hindrance. And any time that we make it tough on somebody else, we're truly judging them, and we're setting the standards ourselves for how we want to be judged, and I don't think you want to be judged according to that principle. I don't believe you do. If you want to start judging another, let's look what James says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. If we spend more time listening, we'll be a lot less likely to start blurting out things that we regret. Because some of those things we blurt out truly is judgment. Degrees of punishment, degrees of reward. We're still talking about judgment. So many, yes, I don't like to use the word arguments. Let's just use a little bit more, less my word, discussion. And you've heard much discussion say about God's reward or lack of reward. There are degrees, rewards, or lack of rewards. And one of those places we find it is in Luke 12:47-48, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom has committed much, of him they will ask the more. God blesses you. And the more he blesses you, the more he expects out of you in helping others. If you do not know what you're supposed to do, then that process of learning must take place. And you can find it out of this book without any problems whatsoever. One other one, last point. Now, you know when most preachers get to that point and say the last point, you know they're about half through, right? I'm just wanting to be sure you're with me, that's all. I just wanted to be sure. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemneth thyself, for thou hast judged that doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Romans 1:2. I invite you to look at it again and again and again. Romans 1:2. Can you judge anyone else without condemning them? Let's go back to encouragement. A compliment, a statement about your neighbor that does not damage him or her. The real person is establishing a policy for which he will be judged. That pat on the back, that kind word, that loving kindness that needs to be part of this life that we live. The standards whereby you'll be judged is according to how you mete out judgment or how you pass that judgment on to or about your fellow man. Judgment does not have to condemn. Let's substitute the word encouragement and encourage and help. When you stand before the judgment seat of God and hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, thou hast been given authority over a few things, but I will give you many and over many things. Enter into the joys of life." It's the greatest message you'll ever hear, folks. Those last words at judgment seat. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this occasion today where we truly get together and make an attempt to remember those great days that we lived when we met you as our Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, as we go through the further services today, may everything be done according to your will, and all honor and glory and praise be yours. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.